Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Smart Marketing for Small Business, the show where we try to help you work smarter, help you outthink, outflank, outmaneuver, and outthink the bigger competition that you have without outspending them. Don't want to try and say that too often, too fast. But tonight we have a number of subjects to cover that I think would be of some interest to you. The idea is that we obviously want to keep you learning. And part of that has to do with the thinking, the way we approach things, and just, I can't emphasize too much the thinking aspect of this. That's why we call it smart marketing, because we want you to be a smart thinker. But before we get into that, let's talk about a couple of things that if you haven't heard the show before. My name is Les Wolf. I'm the CEO of the Smart Marketing Group in Philadelphia. And we have a number of services that I think are beneficial to you. We have four LinkedIn groups that you can tie into. One, of course, named is the same as the show, Smart Marketing for Small Business. There's also Celebrities for Marketing. The idea being that celebrities can be very powerful if you know how to work with them. And the whole idea of the LinkedIn groups is for you to be able to go in for discussions, ask questions, interact with each other, see if some help. So we have, as I said, Smart Marketing for Small Business. We have Celebrities for Marketing. We have Creative Thinkers Forum. The idea of the Creative Thinkers Forum is just as you can imagine. It is to get you to think on a more imaginative aspect. And then there is Fearless Marketers. And the whole idea of Fearless Marketers is the fact that most people don't take risks. The fearless marketer does, and that is usually the person who manages to make things happen. We're also going to talk about a couple of other things. One of the things is social issue marketing, which I'll get into in a few moments, and we can discuss that. But I also want you to know we have our blog, smartmarketingmoves.com, that you're welcome to go up and interact with. We have smartmarketinggroup.com, which is our website. And if you go up to that, you can check under our services, advisory services, a program we call Time Blocks, Smart Marketing Advisory Time Blocks. And that is a program that was developed because a lot of people were asking us, how can we have help but without getting into long-term retainer relationships? So we structured a program where you can basically buy a block of time, 1 hour, 5 hours, 10 hours, whatever you want, good for 12 months. You don't have to use it all at one time. You know, you're 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there, phone or email, a lot of different ways that it can be used. And if you have questions, if you have suggestions, if you have topics you'd like us to cover, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, take down this email address, marketingsmartly@aol.com. Again, that's marketingsmartly, S-M-A-R-T-L-Y, marketingsmartly@aol.com. All right, tonight, as I said, we're going to cover some things about social issue marketing. Well, we're also going to talk about some what I call common sense basics of marketing. And we're going to talk about how one can use the sameness factor against your market foes. But let me talk about social issue marketing. This is an opportunity for people to think, literally think outside the box, by looking and saying, what social issues are out there that I can support, which will at the same time create for me a high positive consumer awareness of my company and my products, will create traffic at the retail level, will enhance trade relationships, offer you opportunities to tie in with that social issue message as it relates to internet and other aspects of social media. So the key to it is that you want to look at, you know, what can be done. And you just have to look around and you see what's going on around the world today, that there is a need for addressing a whole series of concerns that exist out there. And they are ones that can help you, as I said, position yourself. So what we want you to do is think about things like illiteracy. Here in the United States in particular, we're, I think, ranked 14th among industrialized nations in literacy. Bullying. We're working on some programs where we're utilizing boxers to fight an anti-bullying program. We have discussions going on sponsors interested in countering intolerance, discrimination, hatred, bias. There's a whole range of things that can be encompassed in this whole area of social issue marketing. But you have to think about it. You know, there are things that you can highlight. I saw something recently where a McKinsey alumnus started a micro-lending venture, which helps, you know, little villages. Just education, if we can inform people as to what they can do to help. I know it may sound a little ridiculous, but you really have to give people pointers on how to act in ways that will create change. Because that's the whole premise of social issue marketing, is to create change. And it is something that can be very, very powerful and can, more than anything else, can also be a proprietary marketing platform that you can utilize in ways that make it difficult for your competition to duplicate what you're doing. I go back to the subject of intolerance. We have a meeting coming up with a major packaged goods company to discuss how can intolerance be combated in a way that can be good marketing? And you're really talking about integrated marketing. When you think about whether it is a social issue or another aspect of marketing, is that you have to look at what I call integrated marketing strategy. It is not just one thing that accomplishes goals. It are many things that you put together. You can imagine a mosaic or a jigsaw puzzle. As you put the pieces together, you create the picture that becomes the winning situation. And this is very, very important. Too many people look for, simple answers. Well, there are no simple answers. And it is key to think outside the box by looking at what people don't do. And that's one of the things that I think is very important. In fact, there's a thing we call the sameness factor. How do you use it against your market foes? You know, is your competition outspending you in the marketplace? Well, many small businesses, that's the problem that they're facing. Your competition, who is larger, may have the staff, the money, the distribution channels that can play havoc with your best marketing efforts. You know, it is a difficult situation out there for the small business. But remember a fact of business life. 75% of good marketing is common sense. Unfortunately, common sense is increasingly uncommon. But if common sense will tell you there are ways to counteract the efforts of the bigger and more aggressive competitor. You know, it's your responsibility as a smaller marketer to develop new challenges for the competition to keep pace with, new concepts which will motivate customer spending and new approaches to problem solving. All of these can be done without spending anywhere near as much as the bigger competitor. Now, the obvious question is, how? Well, I talk about outthinking the competition. And truly, you have to think better and quicker. Your ability to identify opportunities and to take advantage of them is of prime importance in beating the better finance competitor at the game. Because one of the businesses, one of the advantages a small business has is it doesn't have all of the, all of the different channels it has to go through to get a decision made and get action taken. You know, you can do some tremendous things to motivate the customer. You know, these all can be done without spending anywhere near as much as your bigger competitor. As I said, you have to think bigger and better and quicker. Your ability to identify opportunities and take advantage of them is of prime importance in beating the better finance competitor of the game. And one of the key tools you can use that advantage in this marketing arena is what we call the sameness factor. And think about it for a moment. In an article I recently wrote, I said, are you a mimic marketer? Do you replicate, duplicate, imitate rather than originate? And that is what a lot of people do. They just don't think things through. They just mimic what others do. And this is something that you want to look at because it gives you an opportunity to do some things. In fact, I'm sure familiar with LinkedIn. I went to one of the LinkedIn groups, a marketing group, and I put out a question, why do you think it's so difficult for so many executives to think outside the box? And it was really interesting to see the responses when I asked this question. And they came from all over the world, not just from the United States. You know, and although I utilize the internet quite often in my business, I really don't spend much time on Facebook telling the world about my day, nor do I do much on Twitter, though I did create a program called Stupid Voter when I got so disgusted with politicians and the supporters. But they're both good, Twitter and Facebook. But they're not the magic formula. You have to basically understand the fundamentals of marketing. So when I went to this group and I decided to ask the question, I wanted to see, you know, what were the reactions. I have to admit, I'm a curmudgeon. If you don't know what that means, you're going to have to look it up. I feel I've been at this for a long time, and I feel I've got the right to be somewhat curmudgeon-y. You know, basically, I provide marketing advisory and creative strategy and what have you. But I'm curious what other people's thinking is. So I put this question up, why is it so difficult for so many executives to think outside the box? And here were some of the answers that I got back, which I thought were interesting. A woman named Catherine stated, I believe that many executives may have a fear of failure. It may be that they fear job loss if the project is not successful. Perhaps others feel if their methods have proven to be tried and true, why change? That's one interesting. You know, when you talk about the box, a woman named Ruth had an interesting comment. The box is the paradigm or rules that have driven success in the organization or the industry in the past. So as one of the other people mentioned in his post, there is little practical reason for executives to think outside the box. Unless, of course, the world changes and what used to work in the past no longer works for them today. When executives notice that market share profits are dropping or a new CEO in power, then they recognize a real reason to thinking outside the box. once they recognize that need, it's very easy to get executives to think outside the box. Well, I have to disagree with you. I know that that is not true. But again, these are things that we go out, we ask, we get people's opinions, what have you. All right, let me go back about the sameness factor that we were talking about. All right. You know, if you look around you, you'll see a number of smaller marketers who are whipping the competition and achieving results, and very significant results, by using creative thinking and strategic planning to turn a small budget from a liability to a plus. Now, how can the little guy begin to outthink the competition and break out of the sameness rut? A good starting point is an honest examination of your own marketing materials. That is, whether it's newspaper or magazine ad or direct mail or email, what have you. Lay out some of your own materials next to a half a dozen or so examples from competitors and look for the Me Too approach in headline and copy. Too often, marketers will follow the competition out the window without thinking of a better approach, relying instead on copying an approach to try and attract the customer. You know, and this can be easily seen in many ways. Photographs or illustrations that really have little to do with the product or service. How many industrial equipment ads feature a buxom beauty in bikini just because the other guy does it? Copy that reads from the company's perspective and not the customer's, which is one of the weaknesses of, it's one of the key points of bad copywriting. What is a customer interested in? They're interested in themselves. So that means that you have to read from their write from their perspective, not yours. So instead of trying to find a real customer need and addressing it, many marketers opt for the safeness of similarity in order to position their company just like everyone else. And this is prevalent in the banking area in particular, where laws make the services uniform and marketers take the easier way out by touting the same services. And then you've got cluttered ads. You know, don't be afraid to stand out with a simple, clean approach. Often an ad with everything in it is not informative, but more a sign of lazy thinking. If your ads fade into the pack with devices like those noted, you probably are suffering the sameness factor, and some not-so-radical steps might help break the mold. Can you include a response vehicle to track customer notice and feedback? Now, there's an interesting point. I was in a discussion just today with someone who's been around for a while, and we were talking about junk mail. It was 10 years ago, we would be saying 10, 20 years ago, if we got 10 letters a week that were not really targeted right for us, it was what we call junk mail. Today, with the Internet, you can get 1,000 a week. I delete 300 emails every single day. Inappropriate emails have nothing to do with any subject matter that I'm interested in. Just unbelievable. And how much more difficult it is to be seen and heard and listened to with all of that clutter. Because one of the things that we talk about in marketing, and we'll get back to the sameness factor in a moment, is you're dealing in a situation where you need to integrate many different ways to reach out to people. I was listening to someone say, well, I just got a nice website, and I expect business will be rolling in. And I said, and how are they going to know you're there? Well, it takes a lot more than just putting up a website or sending out an email. I mean, one of the questions I asked on LinkedIn also had to do with placement, like on Google. I said, what percentage of people do you think go past the third page? And it came back, again, a couple of hundred replies, that most people figure people go rarely past the third page. And there are thousands of pages at times. So how do you stand out? You can't rely just on the placement on Google alone. So these are things that you got to look at. Also got to look at cluttered ads. You know, I said, you know, you want to have something. White space can be very effective in drawing attention to what it is that you're doing. All right? As I said, can you bring out a different selling point instead of telling the whole and same story? Excuse me, I'm sorry. The same story of the competition. You know, one strong ally in the battle against sameness that most marketers ignore is their own front line. The smart marketer will develop a strong two-way communications channel with the sales force or those personnel who are actually dealing with your customers and interacting with your prospects on a regular basis. Now, you can be assured that most of your competitors are not using this built-in research resource adequately, yet the feedback you can get provides a better understanding of customer wants and needs. It's a good starting place for the information you need to build a stronger and a more distinct marketing effort. You also need to avoid the elitist attitude toward those in your organization who are outside the marketing area. They can be a valuable part of your strategy planning. Keep in mind, they're also customers. They're consumers. And they may give you some fresh insight. You need to evaluate your situation really honestly. And you got to look at our price, product, and performance on a parity level with the competition. If so, the need to create a difference between you and the competition is paramount. Not a difference for difference sake, but one built on your strengths. Look closely at your product or service, at the market needs and voids, at all the interests and trends in your community and among your customers and prospects. Work from there to identify a point of difference that fits your image and objectives, that is logical and logic. You know, we're back to common sense again, and natural extension of your goals. Now, a bank down in Texas found an effective way to eliminate itself from the sameness umbrella that encompassed the banking field. They did it via deeper involvement in the community. The bank's profile and business showed strong growth, actually from 10th to 5th in the market, by emphasizing interest in and service to the community. Now, its program included active restoration of local historical buildings, implementation of business report programs on local TV, and again, just strong support of cultural events and a serious effort by top bank officials and community affairs. In other words, you got to keep an open mind when it comes to trying something new. Don't ask for a brand new idea with 10 years of proven experience, but be willing to experiment and take a few risks. Strive to widen your thinking, your overview, your outlook, your observation, and your receptivity ideas. You'll be better prepared to outthink the competition. Now, again, a lot of this is covered in articles in our blog, in our discussions on our LinkedIn groups, Smart Marketing for Small Business, Creative Thinkers Forum, Celebrities for Marketing, and Fearless Marketers. So it's there. This whole thing of Smart Marketing for Small Business is here to help you. And we want some interaction from you. Reach out to us at marketingsmartly@AOL.com. Tell us about things that are of interest to you. Tell us of things you're doing that are of interest. Tell us things that you are struggling with. And if you have educational points that will make the listeners smarter, tell us. We'd love to interview you on our show. And again, you can reach out to me at marketingsmartly@AOL.com. All right. Let's go on with a couple other points I want to make. You know, marketing is marketing is marketing, as I'd like to say. And there are four common sense basics. you know. And those of you who've listened to the show before know I love quotes. And one of the quotes I thought was really interesting by a guy named Charles Brower: there's no such thing as soft sell or hard sell. There's only smart sell and stupid sell. You know, in this era of high technology advances and high technology success stories and high technology hype, it's very easy to overlook the fact that the basics of marketing, the fundamentals, haven't changed, except to become more important in the high-stakes game of technology. Customers and investors have to be gained and retained. Customers, employees, you know, need to be communicated to, educated, and satisfied. Customers and employees need to be motivated and stimulated. So it's important. You know, no living being is held by anything so strongly as its own needs. Think about that. No living being is held by anything so strongly as its own needs. So your first common sense basic, where are we located? Are we user friendly? Do we make it easy for people to shop with us? Number two, knowledge is power. Information that enhances the knowledge base of the recipient is appreciated and key to establishing a valued relationship. And this can be workshops and newsletters and white papers and webcasts, you know, the whole series of things. The peculiar value of news is spreading it while it is fresh. And it is something that can be very, very effective for you. Common sense basic number three, benefits. Keep in mind, everyone likes to talk about the features, but customers only buy benefits. So you need to focus on that. You sell solutions, not just products. And number four, continuity is marketing strategy's key characteristic. Whether you are the latest high-tech firm that is a darling of Wall Street, a startup, or one that's been around a long time, you have a need to communicate to three basic audiences on an ongoing basis: customers, employees, and investors. Whatever your company provides, the fact never changes. You have a need to gain and retain customers, keep employees and investors happy, and all of that is marketing, is marketing, is marketing. You know, cutting prices is usually insanity if the competition can go as low as you can. So think about it. There are many ways that you can differentiate yourself from the competition that is going to be a positive impact on your bottom line. I thank you for listening. I hope that you will spread the word about this show to others. Hope you will visit our blog, smartmarketingmoves.com, and our various LinkedIn groups, Creative Thinkers Forum, Smart Marketers, Celebrities for Marketing, and Fearless Marketers. Take care. Have a wonderful week.